But we started talking about standing strong in a fallen world. No one needs to tell you anymore the world has fallen. We hear a lot of the same news reports. We see things going on around the world, whether it's weather or political or personal, many other different ways where people are just hurting and killing one another in the world that we live in. As you do know, our world is in turmoil. Just this past week, since we talked about some things last Sunday, this past week, thousands have died in the Philippines because of the drug war that's going on there. I know that with the purity of heroin here in the United States, especially in this region of the country, so many overdoses. Violence this past week in Myanmar has been going on, and it's overloading Bangladesh with refugees. Turkey and Russia are in a missile defense deal in response to the U.S. military helping Syrian Kurds. We don't see it much on the news anymore, but the human trafficking situation is just unbelievable. To children as young as 6, 7, 8 years of age being sold into human trafficking. This past week, another bombing in London has taken place. We don't know what is going to happen with Korea, do we? You might remember from last week from the book of Daniel, we see that Israel has ignored repeated warnings from the Lord through his prophets. And now they're paying for their sins and ignoring those warnings. You keep hearing me reference the second coming of Jesus. Please do not ignore the warnings. He's coming again and we need to be ready. But we started in the book of Daniel and Israel is now at a time they've ignored repeated warnings to turn from their sins, and even some of the righteous, Daniel and his friends, they're ripped from their homeland. They're taken into captivity. They're forced into a brainwashing program to serve a pagan king. But who remembers the theme of the book of Daniel from last week? Here it is on the screen for you again. The theme of the book of Daniel is the sovereign protection of God in every situation for those who are loyal in standing for Him. I told you last week that we would look at three principles to get us started under this theme. We only had time for one. I'm going to give you two and three today. You might remember the first one. Here it is, God's sovereignty. What is sovereignty? Especially God's sovereignty. It means that He has complete authority and He's in complete control of every detail. So we see the things going on in the world, but it's like we're reading right out of Scripture. Jesus told us in other places in Scripture, these things were foretold. They are not surprising to the follower of Jesus Christ. These are the birth pains that will happen in the latter times before the return of Christ. But we looked at God's sovereignty and how His sovereignty is in every circumstance, but you and I need to look for it, don't we? We mentioned last week that there may have been times that Daniel could have thought, oh, God has abandoned me. And as you look at his story, you can see why he might have thought that a time or two, right? But we ended the message with this truth that God is in the center of that circumstance that troubles your heart. Now, Daniel had no way of knowing the end of his story. In fact, we were just in Daniel chapter 1. It's in the very beginning days of his story, isn't it? Daniel had no way of knowing the end of his story, but he could have been able to detect that God was at work in his life in the midst of his story. I think it's important for us to grapple with this truth, though. The overall situation for Daniel did not change. He was still being held captive and forced into slavery and a brainwashing program under a pagan king. And this guy was crazy. We read some of the things that he put forth. He was willing to take out families, cut them up to pieces, and destroy their homes. This is no lightweight in terms of his brutality. And the overall picture in Daniel's life did not change, but he was able to detect that God could have been at work on his behalf. Remember, we read from chapter 1, verse 9 last week. Now, God had caused the official. Now, who's the official? The official that it talks about here is the individual that the king appointed to be over the brainwashing program that they were in, to train them for 3 years so they could be used in the service of the king's court. But Daniel chapter 1 verse 9 says, now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. So his overall situation did not change. He wasn't released. The Jewish people was not released from captivity, but God was at work in the middle of that circumstance, and he gave this official, caused him to, who did that? God caused this guy to have favor and compassion toward Daniel. God did that. Did not change his overall situation, may not change yours, but maybe if you're looking for it, you'll see God's favor and compassion. So, number one, God's sovereignty is in every circumstance, and we should look for it. Next, here it is on the screen already for you. God's people refuse to compromise their faith. Stand for it. God's people refuse to compromise their faith. Stand for it. It's interesting, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 10, that in the end times, many will fall away. And not only will they fall away, but many will betray and hate each other. Jesus said that is going to happen in the end times. They will fall away and hate and betray one another. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says this, the Spirit clearly says that in latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. The Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, some will abandon their faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Look at this picture of the statue on the screen. This is a statue of a man named Phillips Brooks. I'm not sure who that is behind him. Maybe it's Jesus supporting him. You're a little more familiar with Phillips Brooks than you may realize. He's actually the one who wrote the Christmas hymn, O Little Town of Bethlehem. But Phillips Brooks was a great pastor in his day. And I've walked by this statue probably 1,000 times. I used to live about 4 blocks from this statue. So this statue is on the north side of Trinity Episcopal Church in Copley Square in Boston, Massachusetts. And I lived in the Back Bay where Copley Square is, and I walk by this. I have pictures of this statue. On the base under the statue, the platform, in case you're not able to read it, it says, Phillips Brooks, preacher of the Word of God, lover of mankind. And then under that in Roman numerals is his birth date, and then the date that he died, and then the fact that this was made possible because of his fellow citizens. But Phillips Brooks, preacher of the Word of God, lover of mankind. Now, not only have I walked by this statue who knows how many times, you can see the brownstone of the church behind it. I've been inside this church on a number of occasions. And when I first moved to this area and we wanted to start a church in the Back Bay, which we did, actually, I'm not even sure it was a full block, but about a block away from this location in the Copley Square section of the Back Bay of Boston. You could walk into this church and it is beautiful. The stained glasses all around that as you look at them and study them, they tell the stories of the Bible. And then up high all around it, I can't imagine the hundreds and hundreds of man hours that would have taken, because this was built in the 1800s, and the hundreds of man hours of the people that etched out verses of Scripture from the Word of God. It's beautiful, and these huge stones up high, and you'll see John 10:10 or this verse or that verse, many of the more famous verses or passages of Scripture, and it's gorgeous. You're surrounded by God's Word. But one of the things that I would do in just preparing to learn what was going on in that area that I was starting a church, I would go to some of the Sunday services and visit. And sit there and listen to the pastor of the day. And say, what? What did he just say? What did she just say? That makes absolutely no sense to me, as they've just kind of transitioned into, honestly, in a lot of cases, some modern day mumbo jumbo, if you will. And it certainly isn't what was said of their former pastor years ago, Phillips Brooks, preacher of the Word. Not sure I heard any verses of Scripture. You can imagine my shock a number of years ago as I observed something. It was my first encounter with this. You know, a lot of our cities today have gay pride days and big parades in the cities. And sure enough, on this day, and I see some children in here, so I won't tell you the full story, but behind a flatbed truck with people dressed in ways that I didn't know people dressed, right behind that truck was a delegation from Trinity Church marching in this parade with their banner. The gay group, the pride group from Trinity Church. And see, this is all done under this idea of tolerance and some very interesting views on what progressiveness is. But what it really is, it's a falling away. Exactly like Paul wrote and we just read from 1 Timothy in the last times. It's a falling away, isn't it? Back to Daniel. We've emphasized before and we will more times, he lived in a hostile environment, with totally different belief system than anything he had ever known. So I want you to think with me today of all of the reasons that Daniel could have given for compromising his faith. See, somewhere along the line, things began to fall apart at Trinity and many other churches across the country and around the world, and they began to compromise their faith. They began to compromise the truth of God's Word. So I want you to think of all of the things that Daniel could have given, or the reasons that he could have given for compromising his faith. He could have fought and said things like, hey, this food thing, this is the king's order. I was taught I have to obey, so we better do this. But no, Daniel made a choice, didn't he? And Daniel made the right choice. Why? Because he understood that the law of God takes precedent over the law of man. Daniel could have compromised his faith by thinking, "Ooh, if we disobey here, we could be punished. I mean, I heard what the king said. He's going to cut people up and destroy their houses. I don't know if I want to be signed up for that. So if we disobey, we could be punished." You see, he did not know if the next words he would hear was, "Guards!" He didn't know that. Daniel could have compromised his faith in his day by thinking, hey, this could ruin my potential here. You know, we're being brought into captivity and these things are being forced on us, as we read last week, having to learn this crazy literature, a whole new lifestyle, and this, but you know what, I'm being fed, I've got a place to stay, and I'm not in locks and chains, I'm not in a prison cell, this could ruin my potential here, I'll speak for God later. Could have been thinking that to compromise his faith. Daniel could have been enticed by the food. As far as we know, Scripture doesn't really say so, as far as we know, it was only Daniel and his three friends were the only ones to make the right choices about this food. Who knows how many other people acquiesced and ate it. Now remember, the food in the king's court was first offered to pagan idols. That's why it was evil. And it would defile a covenant child of God. Well, Daniel could have compromised his faith by thinking, hey, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. Or how many remembers this one? What happens in Vegas? You've seen that commercial. Or have you been to Vegas? Now, don't answer that. All right. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Daniel could have compromised his faith by thinking, hey, everyone else is doing it. So why don't I just jump in with it? That's supposed to be a Christian or a covenant child of God. They're doing it. I'm just going to get involved too. Daniel could have compromised his faith with this kind of thinking. Well, why should I stand for a God who's abandoned me and my people, his people? Why should I stand for a God who has abandoned me and allowed me and allowed all of us to go through this indescribable, horrible series of events? And I can tell you that if that thought has ever occurred to you, you're in a dangerous place. Daniel could have thought of a lot of reasons possibly to compromise his faith, but did he? No, he didn't. Daniel did not compromise his faith. How did he take his stand? Well, on this issue with the food, he did three things in particular. How did he take his stand? Number one, he made up his mind. We read it last week, verse 8, Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, Daniel resolved. Daniel what? Boy, you didn't say that with much resolve. What did Daniel what? He made up his mind, and it wasn't like, oh, hey, let's do this or let's not do this, but then it gets difficult or the temptation's too much. Ah, maybe I'll get back to that later. No, that's not what resolve means, is it? Daniel resolved, not going to do this. All right, not going to defile himself with this food. We read it in verse 8. Here's the second thing that Daniel did to not compromise his faith in taking a stand. He took action in his faith, didn't he? Yeah, I think I read somewhere, faith without works is dead. You got people, well, I'm just trusting God. I just have a little faith here, and hopefully in the next 2,000 years, he'll show up. No. He took action in faith. What did he do? He went to the main guy, and he asked him, can we do this? So he went to the very person the king had appointed to put over him, to put him in this 3-year intensive program, and he put some action to his faith, and the third thing he did is he made himself accountable. And he did this with his three friends. Do you get that? He did it with his three friends. So they go to the guy and said, hey, let's, for 10 days, let's try this. So he's building accountability into it, isn't he? So he resolved in his mind. He took an action step in his faith, and he made himself accountable. Well, that was Daniel's situation. What about our day? What about the day that we live in? See, I'm not going to tell you the right answer today. I want you to think about it. You choose. You take a stand. So here we go. Scenario number one, you are invited by some friends to go to a movie. Now, you know the rating, and you know that some of the content as a Christ follower is going to make you feel uncomfortable, or it should. But hey, these are good friends of yours. What should you do? Make a choice. Take a stand. That's what you should do. How about this one? Your teenage son or daughter has someone who is not a Christian interested in them and wants to go out with them, and they're all flustered over this person liking them, but you know that they are not morally founded and they are not principle-centered. What do you do? You take a stand. You make a choice. That's your son. That's your daughter. Doesn't matter if you tick them off. They'll either get over it or always be ticked off. How about this? You are in a conversation about faith. And someone says, well, all religions are the same as long as you are sincere. And then there's silence. What do? You make a choice. That's what you do. You take a stand. How about this? A young person in your family gets their first new job, and it happens to be at Walgreens, and you're excited for them, but then you hear that they spent their first day selling the morning after pill. What do? You make a choice. You take a stand. What about this? Your spouse asks you to participate in immoral or questionable behavior. And let's face it, we know pornography's in the church like it's in the world. And you're asked by your spouse to participate in immoral or questionable behavior. What do? You make a choice. You take a stand. Your situation is no more difficult than Daniel's. And I want you to hear me today, beloved. This is what the Christian life is all about. It's about making right choices based on the Word of God. Okay, this is not just a compilation of writing. This is God's book. God wrote a book. And this Word, God's Word, is our rule for faith and conduct. The Word of God is our rule for faith and conduct. Hear me today. The Christian life is not built primarily on love. Love is our expression. Our foundation is truth. If your Christianity is not built on truth, you're only going to have feelings and not a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ. And if it's only feelings, you're not going to have the solid foundation of the Word of God to take a stand on. You won't have it. This book is our rule for faith and conduct. If your behavior does not match your belief, beloved, that is hypocrisy. And you're not standing. You're not resolving. You're wishy-washy. Well, in one day, out the next. In on Sunday morning at church, sign me up. Erasing the sign up on Monday morning. Right? Come on, somebody. So if it's only a feeling, you're not going to have a solid foundation to take a stand on. So what have we looked at here? God's sovereignty is in every circumstance. Look for it. God's people refuse to compromise their faith. Stand for it. We've got one more for you. God's blessing comes to those who are loyal. Wait for it. See, all of these things beg the question, why should I sacrifice? Why should I take a stand in my life for righteousness, for Christ, stand on the Word of God? When the whole world's gone this way, why should I go that way? Because the Bible says the Lord knows those who are His and He will bless them. But sometimes you have to wait and wait. You see, here's something you need to understand today. Daniel took a stand not just once. Daniel took a stand repeatedly for decades. He took a stand repeatedly for decades, and he did it in a pagan and hostile environment that was totally against everything he ever knew and believed. But in just the first scenario, in chapter 1, where Daniel took a stand to not defile himself with food offered to pagan idols, from the time that Daniel made the decision to the time he started receiving the blessings for that decision was 3 years. Now you can read chapter 1 in 3 minutes and think, okay, pagan food, evil food, because it had been offered to idols, was being offered to Daniel, but he was a child of God. If he would have eaten it, it would have defiled himself. He didn't do it, and he's blessed. Let's move on. No. Just because you can read it in 3 minutes, understand, he was on a 3-year program with this food. That's a lot of vegetables and water. Remember, he was on the, this was a 3-year program that was handed down by the king. What did he say? I want you to take some of these Hebrew slaves. I want you to take the best, those that look the best. They're the brightest, you know, the sharpest pencils in the cup, right? And I want you to put them in this program for 3 years. And after that 3 years, they can be brought into the king's court to serve. But you see, it's in that time that many Christians, they fall and they fail. We know what is right, and we're willing to make a choice, but how long is it going to take God to come through with the promised blessings if I make this choice to please Him? It's in this time that you're either going to stand or you're going to fall. I read just the other day, I believe it was from David Jeremiah on Thursday, that the hardest part in trusting God has to do with His timing. The hardest part in trusting God has to do with His timing. Oh my, we got something going on in our lives, and the message that Sunday is just for you, and you're like, oh yes, God, I'm going to stand, ain't no nothing going to take me out of this commitment. And then the next day comes along and that problem's still there. And the next week, it's still there. A month later, God hasn't done a thing about it as far as you know. A year later, how about 5 years later? And that when you were so gung-ho and you signed up, I'm going to trust you no matter what, Lord. But that was 3 years ago. And I don't see any change in my life, God. I don't see any change in my circumstance. You see, the hardest part in trusting God has to do with His timing. So the issue is, am I really willing to wait on the Lord? The psalmist writes in Psalm 27, verse 14, wait for the Lord. That's the next slide, by the way. Be strong and take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. And sometimes it's like, wait for the Lord, isn't it? Oftentimes, God's blessings are not immediate. God's blessings come to those who are loyal to Him. Wait for them. It seems to me it's a little difficult to give evidence to loyalty in just a day or two. If your loyalty is not tested, how can it be determined that you are in fact loyal to the Lord? God's blessings come to those who are loyal to Him. Wait for them. How many students cannot wait for high school to end and in some form or another compromise their faith and it's a lost blessing? How many couples cannot wait for marriage and compromise their purity? Equals lost blessing. How many employees cannot wait for the promotion and they compromise their righteousness? It equals a lost blessing. How many Christians cannot wait to have all of the good times now and compromise their faith and they end up with lost blessing? And see, this list could go on and on and on and on and on, but the point is that good things come to those who wait for them. So the question is, what circumstance or situation is God calling you to wait on Him? What situation is He calling you to wait on Him today? Where is He saying you need to take a stand and not compromise your faith? Or what difficult situation are you facing Him today? You think He's abandoned you, but you can look for Him in that circumstance. Situation may not change for you any more than it did Daniel, but God was at work in Daniel's life, wasn't He? I want to encourage you today, take a look inside. Give God an opportunity to draw something to your attention today. Where is the Spirit of God calling you to look for Him in the midst of a difficult and undesirable situation? Where is God calling you to take a stand as a Christian? What area of compromise is there that might He be challenging you in right now? And I'm going to ask you these questions again in a few moments, but this past Thursday, Melissa and I were out to lunch with other presbyters and their wives. And I was struck by a conversation that my wife got into with the woman to your left. What was her name? A pastor's wife from Alexandria. And they're talking about what's going on in our schools today and how they use the public school system. And I understand that. We're trying to encourage our children to be missionaries in their schools. And she talked about one daughter in particular who just loves Jesus and took a stand repeatedly over and over for what and who she believes in. And I listened as this mother told of the time when her daughter was coming up through high school. She had one teacher who was a lesbian that just had it out for her because she was a Christian. Talked about someone else in the school that seemed to lean toward the whole gothic lifestyle, and they were just polar opposites, butting heads. But this pastor and his wife's daughter never compromised her faith. And now that as time had gone by, she told how, because now the families had come together a little bit, and now they're both married, I believe, and this pastor's daughter's first child is due here in a couple of weeks, but talked about how this young man came to her at one point and said, "Your daughter intrigues me." To which she's like, "Great, I've got this guy that's intrigued by my daughter, and he lives in a different world than we do." So she finally mustered up the courage to say, "Well, is that so? Why is that?" And his response to this girl's mother was this: "Because she knows what she believes. She knows what she believes." And now, since that young man's come to meet with her father, who's a pastor, and relationship has developed, I got to think that if a young teenage girl can take a stand in the modern times public schools and knows what she believes, you and I can too. She took a stand, and it didn't. Nobody could see it at the time, but it was making a difference in the lives of the individuals around her. What is the Spirit calling you to look for Him in the midst of a difficult situation? Or where is God calling you today to take a stand as a Christian? What area of compromise might He be challenging you in right now? Shaquille, would you come, please? Or where would Jesus show you this early afternoon that you need to wait for the blessings that God has promised you? You know, one of the things that Abraham teaches us is don't try to hijack God's timing on His promises, His covenant promises. God had promised Abraham, "I'm going to give you a land and I'm going to give you the descendants that's as innumerable as the stars in the sky and the sands of the sea." But Abraham did so many things that he shouldn't have done that could have hijacked God's promise to him. Remember when they left Haran, no one was supposed to go with him, but yet he took Lot. And if you know that story, Lot became an absolute nightmare. He took land that was never his to be taken. Abraham had to go rescue him at one point. That's one example. Another example, and there were many as you read through the story because of their age. Sarah and then Abraham concoct this plan. Okay, you're supposed to have this son with all of this promise, but hey, we're old. Take my servant Hagar. Was that God's plan? No, they're trying to take a hold and expedite and advance God's plan out of His timing. And it cost them dearly. Now, God's covenant promises are greater, yes. But think of all of the turmoil and the heartache that Abraham and Sarah could have saved themselves if they would have just waited on the Lord to begin with. Where would Jesus show you this morning that you need to wait for the blessings that God has promised you? I wanted you to remain seated this morning for a very specific reason. Because I wonder today how many are here and you're willing to do something tangible. Maybe you come today and you are in the midst of a difficult situation. Remember, what Daniel was facing was not desirable. I mean, who in their right mind is, let me sign up to be taken into captivity and forced into a hostile environment and become brainwashed? Nobody's going to do that, but that's where he was. So he looked and he found God sovereign in the midst of a difficult situation. Maybe you're here today and you're in a tough place. Maybe you felt like God has abandoned you. Can I encourage you to look for him today? Can I encourage you that true followers of Christ, we don't compromise your faith. You got to take a stand for it. Whether it's in a public school, in the workplace, with a neighbor. Maybe you have found yourself cowering, but the Lord says, hey, next time that happens, I want you to do what Daniel did. I want you to do what that teenage high school girl in Alexandria did. I want you to take a stand. Or maybe you've kind of taken hold of God's promises in your life. And you've tried to push them along. And God's like, no. My blessings come for those who are loyal to me and wait for me. So I wonder across this place today, by standing, you're saying, these words from the Lord has spoken to me. I'm going to take a stand in my life. All across this place, go ahead, whenever you're ready, just begin to stand. Sometimes it needs to be done publicly. Daniel's did, this high school girl's did. I am going to stand in my day. I am not going to compromise my faith for anyone, anywhere, at any time, for anything. I'm going to stand. I will not compromise my faith. Maybe you need to look for a situation or look for God's sovereignty in the midst of a difficult situation. Just stand right now in this place. Maybe you've prayed, you've fasted, you've tried to believe God for something, but it's like he hasn't even heard you. How many, by standing today, I'm going to be loyal to him, I'm going to wait for him. Now listen, did Daniel pray? I mean, we seem to have evidence he prayed 3 times every day, right? He would go, he'd get on his knees, he'd open the door to his room that faced east toward Jerusalem, and he prayed. I want you to know that God's Daniel is alive and well today. And you and I can begin right now. Don't listen to me any longer. If you're standing, you begin to pray to the God of Daniel. Just as he heard Daniel's prayers, he will hear your prayers in this place today. And as you are praying over your situation, I'm going to pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for every individual in this place that is standing. I pray for your favor and your blessings over them, God. I pray that your strength, your spirit, would strengthen them. And God, when in the flesh they want to give up, they would be loyal and wait for you. When everyone else is going one way or temptation's coming, it would be easy to compromise. No. I pray that they will stand and not compromise their faith. And God, I pray that even though at times the heavens seem as brass and you are in a galaxy 1,000 light years away, that they would look for you in the middle of those circumstances and see the sovereignty of God. Daniel took a stand and was preserved in a hostile environment for decades. God, you can still keep us today, no matter how long it takes. You are God. You are God. I pray for every individual in this place today, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Yes. You're welcome to come to these altars and spend as much time in the presence of the Lord as you would like. But I want you to, if you leave in the assurance, you can stand, and He is your sure foundation to stand on. God bless you. See you next Sunday.